Mahayana used that word, so I qualify it by saying that it's not right to use that word because I'm already without ignorant, without selfishness already.
Yes, yes, definitely.
But the meaning they are trying to put is because according to the Mahayana, because you as a selfish person, you know what is selfishness, eh? We are more concerned with ourselves first. So self above others. So in that sense, they say, you are a selfish person because your consideration is more towards your self-enlightenment first. But they actually use the wrong word. It's not selfish. The word they should have used is, it's their choice. It's their choice because when you have the ability to realize arahantship, that abhijja ceases. So there is no more selfishness in that decision they make because they just want to finish off. Finish off means realize the cessation, nibbana. Then with the understanding, then they have a choice. They choose not to continue, or to them they believe this is what they have been striving for all this while, to realize this enlightenment so that they don't have to come back. So in that sense, it's not in any way selfish. Yeah, there is a personal choice. But what they mean is they can take a longer way for the benefits of all living beings. So instead of thinking about self-enlightenment, they have this understanding that they should go the further way. Well, the further way has a lot of things. That's why he said arahants still have outflow. So maybe I explain this part first. So here, outflow means low. Here doesn't mean there is avijja, there is ignorance. Outflow is the flow of thought process. Their mundane mind is still there. So that outflow means the birth and death of the segmented form and mind means rebirth, condition for arising of rebirth consciousness to take physical birth of another segmented life of a form and mind, that one no more. The arahant won't undergo that. But the birth and death of thought process, that one also five aggregate of form and mind. So that's why to them, because the Mahayana type of realization of Nibbana is without outflow. But actually, if they understand, the arahant also realize that Nibbana that is without outflow. But because their mundane mind didn't collapse, when they arise from that cessation or Nibbanic experience, what happened is the mundane mind has not collapsed. So there is this outflow or what we call birth and death of this mundane mind, the thought process. At that one, they cannot do anything. But because they have the wisdom connected to their former mind, so they are not deluded. So last thought moment when they die, there is no avijja to condition rebirth. So that is the actual understanding. But because of that outflow, because the sainthood way, those who go by the arahant way, they didn't know about the bodhisattva way. So the bodhisattva way, when you cultivate until there is no more outflow, means the mundane mind collapse, is very different. The understanding of that nature and the cultivation become very different. Then only you can really connect to your spiritual nature, and from there you go into trust, the fourth support, to actually activate the actual transformation of the physical form and mind within. So when they do that, the vibration or the pure energy will reach the stage where it is very fine, where the mundane mind cannot sustain itself or cannot exist. That's why it slowly have to collapse. But the process take a while. For my case, it took about 9 months after I realized that thing. I remember. So this part, maybe you should also make a note so that you can understand why the two, they cannot agree on this. And the person who cannot agree is mainly the one that is not an arahant and the one that is not a bodhisattva. So this group who are neither arahant nor bodhisattva, they tend to have issue with what is being said. So that is what I try to avoid, misunderstanding. But the reality is they have a reason to say that. Actually, when you understand, it is to me not that bad, but the wrong choice of words, like I said. Okay?
Yeah, excellent answer, Ratio. Yeah. Because not forgetting that our Gautama Buddha is also an arahant.
Right, right, yes.
Yeah, how can they say arahant is selfish and got outflow?
Oh, outflow is correct.
The normal arahants still have outflow. But they are not talking about the asava, understand not? Outflow of defilement no more. But outflow, they mean the birth and death of the thought process, the mundane mind. That one, hayu lo, means that one still arise and pass away, arise and pass away, where the mundane mind is still there. So the outflow of the mundane mind, they cannot control. They cannot control. The birth and death of the segmented life finish. But the birth and death of the five aggregate of form and mind, that one not finished. So that one, the Mayana is correct, that is the outflow, but the meaning is very different, because to the Theravada, outflow means asava, understand not? Asava means you still have that fine defilement and all things, but no more, arahant no more. That's why in the last five fetters, when the arahant realizes arahant shape, the fourth stage of sainthood, even the minor conceit, mana, restless of mind, all gone. The last one is avijja, all rooted out. That's why, in that sense, they do not have any more defilement or the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. No matter how fine the level is, it is no more, completely rooted out. That's why they cannot pass away with avijja, means no rebirth consciousness, is completely rooted out. So here the outflow, the meaning again is the word, is the word, Amy.
Because like Liu Zhu Huineng, also he knows how to use his mundane mind without deceived by the mundane mind.
It's different, that one. The Wu Zhu tell him one, because he was born without the mundane mind. You remember, Amy? Sixth was born without the mundane mind. His nature is that pure nature already. So what he is being told is that worldly mind, because just like what happened to my nature in 1989 when the mundane mind collapsed, there is another supramundane mind, which is very fine, very fine. That one will arise. That one is just pure awareness. So he must know how to use this when the mundane mind is no more. So this one is referred to as the what they call supramundane mind, that is totally without the gross mundane mind to actually cloud them. So this one is the true mind. So that true mind can have perception, can have sankara, can have thinking, but it's very fine. It's like there is no mind. So that supramundane mind actually take over. So he used that mind, but the mundane mind is no more. So what the fifth patria told sixth patria is, because sixth patria don't have the mundane mind, that's why he don't understand. why other human beings are like that, why he don't have that problem. Then when he told him that, he realized profoundly, he said, how amazing is it that nature is complete by itself. That's why he understand completely that nothing is apart from the nature. And all dharma of creation of the ordinary human being who still have the mundane mind, they all arise from that nature. That's why he understand that his supramundane mind, he know how to use it. Because for him, it's different. He is the balayan. He was born without the mundane mind. So when he dialogue with the fifth patriarch, unless you have gone through that cultivation and that process, you can never understand why he answer that way after he heard what the fifth patriarch mentioned. Mm-hmm. He straight away, how amazing, so beautiful. The Mandarin one is very beautiful. But it's the same as the Heart Sutta, my English translation that sharing is the same. The meaning is the same. Well, I understand what you try to bring out, because this is very often misunderstood in the early day, because there were a big argument over this. I think people wrote book. Then they use the same argument like what you mentioned. It is stated in the nine great virtues of the Buddha that the Buddha is also an arahant. Yes, that one is a fact. But this is not about argument. Yeah, this is about the cultivation. The cultivation, when you understand the difference between the sainthood way and the bodhisattva way, is already so wide, so different. And the amount of cultivation, experience, and understanding, and perfection of wisdom is way beyond. So because of that, you can say the Buddha is also an arahant, but he has completed the perfection. That's why he is called a Sammasambuddha. Otherwise, you are just an arahant or a particular Buddha or a normal Buddha, which is not the Sammasambuddha. So there is a big difference in the cultivation. So the difference comes from the understanding. But like I say, most of the time, the argument comes from those who are neither bodhisattva nor arahant. That is where the problem.
The two
never argue one. Yeah, they know what that thing is. They know what that thing is. Just to the arahant, he got no more problem. Right? You tell him, oh, still got one. He say, it's your decision. It's up to you. If you want to go that way, you go. If you still believe God thing, you go. But to them, they are contented with all this. And they understand the form and mind is not them. That one, the arahant, understand. So who is enlightened? No one is enlightened. Because the form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. And you use that to realize the enlightenment. Then after that, there is he no you, he no me. There is just a nature, your nature, which is the karmic nature will condition the form and mind. Then the spiritual nature is another nature that will develop the perfection of whatever wisdom or cultivation that you have developed. Then that one, you cannot inherit. It's not like the karmic nature. The moment you are born, you inherit. That's why you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions followed by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. But the spiritual nature, you cannot. You have to connect. You have to connect to the true mind. Before you connect, most of the time in your sainthood way, you don't inherit much. Yes. Very likely the perfection is not much. Not much. But if you have gone beyond the sainthood way, the moment you connect to your true mind, when you realize that cessation, even the glimpse of it, after that, you start to inherit already. Then those who have that nature one, the understanding will come. They will recall their vows and all those things. Then they will know what to do. The Bodhi mind will actually manifest strongly. and then bring forth the causes and conditions for them to continue with their path. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very unique. You don't have the vow, you have not planted the Bodhi mind. You can never do it and you can never understand. And the four basic vows are the condition behind the taking of that way and the path. So all this, the non-cultivator who are not on the Bodhisattva path or way, they cannot understand. They cannot understand. That's why you need all these Sammasambuddha, the great beings, and all those who have gone this way for sufficiently long training. And these are the beings who can come back to their understanding when they inherit from their spiritual nature. Then they can share with you. Then how much they can share with you depend on how far they have gone this way. But in between, they must have had teachers or guide who had actually advised them. And these are people who has gone very far, or even some of them who has finished. So when they get guidance from all these beings, they will be able to successfully walk the path. And finally, they themselves will also get the prediction, and they will confidently after that. Normally, after you get your prediction, means they are on the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development. Means their Bodhi mind has renounced samsara. They know samsara is nothing really. So they will continue to perfect themselves. Then some bodhisattva, they choose to have the type of vow, the additional vow that hinder them from realizing the final samasambuddha perfection.